This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. We have small group meeting tonight. And we're actually meeting at a restaurant tonight. So because of that, I'm not going to waste the time to go all the way home and come all the way back in. I'm going to record the podcast, and then I'm going to find a place to sit and do some reading, because I'm reading through book 16 at this point. Just keep reading, and then once I get that done, I'll just head over to the restaurant, get that done, then head home. So, all is well. All is well. We're here. Oh, this is not quite straight. I'm going to straighten it up. There we go. So, yeah, working on costumes. Oh, man. So we'll see how this works out. But anyways, the official project that I'm working on right now with the costumes is the Angel Wings. That seems to be going fine, although there have been plenty of things with these Angel Wings that, wow, this is more work than I thought it was going to be, but it's cool, and it'll be fun. It'll just be really fun. And so, just puttering along with that, I had created 46 rough wings by gluing fabric together with things of wire, pieces of wire. So now I'm going through and trimming them down to the appropriate size, and then putting a hook, actually an eyelet, on the end of it so that I can bolt it to the frame. So optimistically, I went and I purchased all the bolts to bolt everything to the frame, not realizing it was probably going to take me, 2 weeks to actually trim down all of the feathers and fashion the eye bolts on the end, because, you know, I only work on it a couple hours a night, and by the time you trim it down, twist the eye bolt, go out, cut it off, hammer it down, kind of fiddle with it, you know, it's 15, 20 minutes, and then by the time you set everything up, get everything situated so you can work, tear everything down at the end, you know, you pretty much chewed up the 2 hours. Anyways, but that's all going well. It's all is fine. I paused there for a moment because cars started slowing down very rapidly, and I was really hoping that, A, I was not going to run into the back of someone, and B, someone was not going to run into the back of me. But we survived it. So I'm doing the read-through. The read-through seems to be fine. I'm just tweaking a little bit here and there, but not too much. Everything seems to kind of be in place. For that, I think I may have a few little tweaks to do on the epilogue, but I think the epilogue is on the page, which is always good. So now I just got to get the cover shot and get the cover designed, and we'll see how that goes. I have to admit that as I get further along here, I perhaps am putting a little less effort into the covers, which isn't good. I gotta get myself going here. I've had a couple of covers in this second set of 8 books that I've looked at and gone, yeah, okay, it's fine. You could probably done better, but, you know. I had at least 1 or 2 that I have really liked, so. But, you know, it's all a matter of how much time do you have, and what are your resources, and where are you going with this, and yada, yada, yada. So, we'll see. So that's all well. Been a good week at work. Everything is puttered along, accomplished things that needed to be accomplished, and ran all the harvesting for the prep work to end of month, so that seems to be fine. Have an interesting weekend ahead of me. We'll just we'll just see new experiences. New experiences. Oh, man. Okay, anyways, so I was doing some reading, and I'm always fascinated. I know what the source is, but I'm really fascinated by the way the flesh makes us look outward and tries to blame our state on things that are eternal, or external to us, not eternal, external to us. I'm always fascinated by that thing, you know, because people driven by flesh are pointing their fingers constantly outward and saying, you did this, and that's why I'm this, and you did this, and my society is doing this, and it's causing me, and you're forcing me, and you're blah, 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 blah. And it's always pointing to something else that's the root cause of the problem, when in fact, the root cause of the problem is within, and is our easy inclination to listen to the voice of destruction within us, because it sounds so much like us. You know, it feels so much like us, and it's so good at convincing us of the truth, of what it thinks is the truth, when in fact, it's not good. So the particular article I came across, one example of people pointing their fingers outward before I get to the article, is to me this whole issue of when women talk about how society makes demands on the way they present themselves. And my response is, no. I mean, society is trying to convince you that if you look a certain way, you'll have more value, but they cannot convince you of that unless you choose to be convinced. You know, the issue is if you allow yourself to be convinced of that, that's really your responsibility. But it's easy to point at this amorphous blob entity out there called society. But that really doesn't do much good, because you have no control. You can't just wave your hand and make society treat women different, when a lot of the way, quote-unquote, society treats women comes down to selling things. So this image that we've been given that make women feel uncomfortable with their bodies is specifically designed to make people, women, feel uncomfortable with their bodies. That's the whole point, because they're trying to sell you something. So as long as you want to ascribe worth to that, the reason, you know, that we have very pretty people on TV is so that we will wish to be like the very pretty people who are on TV, and we will buy things that the very pretty people tell us to buy, and we will, you know, it's all that cascade of all that stuff, when in fact, none of that is true. What was I seeing in Walmart the other day? It was some kind of, I forget what it was. It was either a Star Wars or it was something, and it was like lip balm or something. Just like, what? Gotta have my lip balm and gotta have Star Wars on it. It's like, oh man. Because that will make my life richer. Yeah, so often the flesh's approach is to tell us that our real problem in life is all these things that we have no control over. The flesh loves telling us that. because it's impossible for you to get anywhere with that type of approach. If the problem is always outside yourself that you cannot control, then you just go on and on and on and on suffering the same thing, and there's no way to get out of it. And the flesh loves that. It loves getting you into a bind where there's no way to get out of it, and it can just sit there and grind on you. You know, just make you mad and make you depressed and make you all kinds of things. I have ducked into the cemetery, and I think I'm gonna maybe roll down a window. It doesn't look like the wind is blowing too hard, so maybe I roll down a window a little bit and get some breeze going through the car here a little bit, and then I'll just slowly drive around the car while I finish talking. So the name of this article was Anti-Capitalism is Flooding TikTok as Young People Question a Life That Prioritizes Productivity Over Well-Being. Okay, well, I think it's very important for people to realize that well-being is the most important thing. And just simply going in and working your brains out is not a way to achieve well-being. That's really important to learn. You know, I have had conversations with a cousin of mine, and he is often gobsmacked by my responses to things. At one point, he found out that I was told that I should raise my rates, that it was a perfect time to raise my rates. And I looked back at the person who had told me that and said, no, that's fine. I've got all the money I need. And he just looked at me like, what? I said, yeah, I got all the money I need. Why should I put myself, you know, why should I demand that I get more money when I've got money? That's fine. I don't need that. So I'm certainly for the whole concept of not being driven by money, not being driven by the number of hours that you work, not being driven by any of those things, but cultivating a life that is full and joyous. And not just being, you know, trying to grab every dollar. But even if I wasn't, I think it's a bit disingenuous for people to blame that attitude, blame that approach that they're taking with their life on some giant amorphous thing that they've decided is called capitalism. Because capitalism, I mean, so you've got people in this article. So the article starts out, work is life and life is work for many Americans in the 21st century. TikTok users are calling out capitalism for the toll it takes on their mental health. It's a byproduct of the values set by the American dream in which endless growth equals success. Quote, like many young adults, I used to want an enjoyable and meaningful life, Rama says with a smile. That is, until I discovered capitalism. Now I live in a society where my productivity matters more than my well-being, and I'm just so depressed and anxious all the time. I'm smiling, but I'm deeply wounded. I work 3 jobs, and I still feel like I'm not doing enough. Okay, well, that is a very sad thing. That is a very sad thing that this person is in this situation. But the question is, what is the root of the problem here? You know, is it really capitalism? Or is there a deeper root? So according to the article, anti-capitalism is taking over TikTok as users like Rama denounce America's glorification of the rat race. The pandemic prompted many American workers to rethink their life's purpose. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And the youngest among them are questioning a life that endlessly pursues the next accomplishment. Okay. You know, I think we should all be reflective. And we should all do what we can to reflect on our lives and move forward in a way that will bring us joy. So, you know, Jeff Gertner, a therapist, says in one of his many TikTok videos analyzing the link between work and self-worth, when you live in a capitalist society, no matter what you do, it's never enough. Under capitalism, you derive value by doing something, not just being human. Okay, what? What? Okay, I live under capitalism, and I am more than happy to live under capitalism because there's not really a better option. So what? What? Just because I live under capitalism, I have to behave in a certain way? Of course not. Of course not. You know, so you can live in capitalism and derive your value from something other than doing something. You can live under capitalism and just be a human being. Period. You know, now of course, all of this push is to where, well, we just need to tear everything down and rebuild everything. Oh, right, okay. Okay, let's see how that's gonna work out. Actually, I really don't wanna see how that's gonna work out. So, the American way of working for passion and a sense of productivity is taking a toll. It's why the World Health Organization classified burnout as a clinical syndrome in 2019, why people are advocating for a four-day work week, and why America loves the flexibility of working from home. It explains the post-pandemic shift we've seen as employees quit by the millions every month. Yeah, okay, well that's up to employees. But some people feel quitting might feel bad about it. Because it feels like a failure under the American work culture. See, okay, so this is, gets back to that thing of, well, society makes me do this. And the fact is, society doesn't make you do this. So they're saying, I feel like a failure under the American work culture. So, the American work culture, what does that mean? What kind of a culture of work do we have in America? Well, there's certainly this idea of if you work hard, you can get ahead, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all that kind of thing. But what is it that is driving people to distraction as far as working hard goes? What really is doing that? You know, is it the quote unquote culture? Do you have quote unquote culture police coming to your door as soon as you stop working and saying, you need to work harder? Are there laws that are passed? Do you have an ankle bracelet that's forcing you to work harder, and if you stop, it shocks you? Of course not. Of course not. You make the decision. You make the decision. Just like I made the decision several years ago. I was taking care of my dad. It was easier if I had an extra day to where I could go and do grocery shopping for him and take care of the groceries and, you know, make sure I had time to take him for doctor's appointments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I looked at the budget, I ran the budget calculations, I figured out what I needed to keep body and soul together. Now, granted, I'm in a very special and privileged condition, But we could all be far more frugal. And I decided years and years ago, when I was taking care of my mom and dad, that what I wanted to do was to just work 32, 34 hours a week. So I just started doing that. And so, yes, I already have a four-day work week. And I gotta tell you, I love it. Could I have made far more money if I would have worked 40 hours a week? Yes. Could I have made far more money if I decided to jack my rates up when I had the chance? Yes. Would that have brought me fulfillment and delight and all the things I have with my four-day work week? No. Because I recognize that I need to accomplish, you know, a certain, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to go that way. You know, I need to recognize a level of earnings in order to get done what I need to get done from a financial standpoint. And once I have those earnings, then I'm good. I don't need more money. You know, I'm just good. All is well. And so I can work 4 days, have a 3-day weekend every weekend. And it's good. I like it a lot. So Aaron Keck, a sociologist at the University of Michigan, said this melding of work and self stemmed from a role productivity and hard work played in culture. Their status symbols. Look no further than the worship of the hustle culture, girl bosses, and unicorn enterprise. Okay. So, look, if people want to go out and work hard and they want to build their own business and they want to, that's up to them. That's fine. But just because someone else is doing it, that doesn't force or require me to do it. It does not force me to do it. I force me to do it. There's a sense that the morally valuable way to have a career is aligned with a sense of passion, Keck said. When people are working, they're doing it out of a sense of needing fulfillment in their own lives, not just bring in a paycheck. This mentality is a byproduct of a certain set of American ideals, which being busy is romanticized. Okay, well, who is doing this romanticizing? It's the flesh within us. Working more than 40 hours a week is often the expectation, and jobs are people's passions. Hey, if you like what you do, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. I'm glad for you. I have chosen not to make work my passion. My passions are writing, and now my passions are costumes, and, you know, I concentrate on other things that I have some control over. As far as work goes, I just rent my brain. Now, if you want to build a business and start a business, by all means, go ahead. It is going to require a lot of commitment. It's going to require a lot of discipline. It's going to require a lot of time. But if that's what you want to do, okay. But don't say, well, I'm being forced into this because, you know, I just have to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And mostly, let's not force ourselves into this and then claim that capitalism is all the problem. Because the only way you could do it in the first place is if we had a capitalistic society. Because if you just had socialism, really stringent socialism, you would be told what you're supposed to do with your life, and then you would just have to do it. And people probably wouldn't like that very much. So, you know, you go through some of this stuff and you think, well, So they finish up the article by saying, America's dependence on productivity reframed the reverence of the hustle culture as people's lives took precedence over their job during the pandemic, as insider Aki Ito recently explored. Look no further than the Great Resignation, the anti-work movement, and Gen Zers slowing their output. Some are dedicating more time to loved ones. That's good. And meaningful hobbies. That's good. Which is where we find true happiness. Yes. According to Kamaro Prezmyuk. But he said the reality is that most people struggle following this advice. At times because they don't believe it. At times because they are less interested in being happy than we think. Even than they say. So, there you go. That's precisely what I'm talking about. Yes, we can sit here and we can complain about the fact that this, that, and the other, and society's doing this, and society's doing that, but that's not really what's going on. What's really going on is that we are making ourselves unhappy because we're listening to a destroyer within us, and we don't recognize the voice within us that is making us unhappy. I know that couple that I just passed, but I didn't say hello because then there would have been a conversation. Lots of people are out in the cemetery today and they're going for walks and it's really lovely. So I am going to wrap this up. I'm going to find myself a place to park. I'm going to grab my computer. I'm going to do a little reading. And then I'm going to go to small groups and have a lovely meal with some beautiful people. And we are just going to have a wondrous time. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have finished driving around. And at some point today, I am going to make it home. Have a great weekend, everyone.